The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
You may or may not remember the television series entitled The New Normal. Anybody? No? Well, it only aired for one season, back in 2012 and 13, but it won all sorts of awards. And the storyline follows a wealthy Los Angeles gay couple, Brian and David, who want to have a baby. They meet Goldie Clemens, who is a waitress and single mother, and she decides to become their surrogate. And then she and her 9-year-old daughter move in with Brian and David, and they form this strange family. And then, of course, the extended family gets involved, and they form this community outside what is considered, obviously, the norm. And this show, much like the TV series Modern Family, were satires and critiques of what our culture considers normal. Now, in case you haven't noticed it, in recent days, the word normal has probably become the most overused word in our national and personal conversations. We ask, when will things get back to normal? Or some of us are asking, in light of this pandemic, what is the new normal? Mostly, I've heard and I've said it and longed for it myself, when can we just get back to normal? When can we just get back to the traffic jam at 202 and 244th? I don't want to get back to that. But when can things get back to the way They were before all of this started. I wonder, however, if the events through which we are now living and the event we celebrate on this Easter day offer us the opportunity to envision something more than getting back to normal. Perhaps a new normal that has the potential to make this world a better place. A place that is more in tune with God's dream for the creation. But there is something in our human psyche. Theologians call it our brokenness, sinfulness. It's the impulse to return and stay and sometimes protect with fervor what is familiar and predictable. It is a strong impulse, especially for those of us who are control freaks. I am not one of them. I prefer to call myself a control enthusiast. In John's version of the first Easter, Jesus has not been dead for more than a few hours, and the disciples are trying to adjust to life without Jesus. They're trying to gain some sense of control over their own destiny. Mary Magdalene, however, she's the hero of this story, in case you didn't pick up on that. She ignores the stay-at-home order, and she ventures out to find the tomb empty. Now, Mary does what any one of us would do. She attempts to find an explanation that is reasonable and what anybody with any sense would conclude in this situation. Well, someone has taken away Jesus' body. I know it was in there because I was here on Friday when Joseph and Nicodemus helped us bury the body. Now, I know the officials, you know, they wanted him dead. And I guess they have delivered yet another blow. They have stolen his body. I mean, what other explanation could there be? And then Mary tells Peter and presumably John, who race to the tomb to verify what Mary has told them. And what unfolds next in this story is comical. John believes, but the scripture doesn't tell us what he believes. But it couldn't have been earth-shattering because the final sentence in that paragraph, in that part of the story, tells us that they went back to their homes. What on earth did they do when they got back home? Did they cook breakfast? Did they surf the internet? I get the sense that they were probably dealing with their own grief and fear and their shattered dreams. And maybe they just wanted to go back home and return to some sense of normality, or at least a place where they felt in control. And bless Mary's heart. She's struggling, she's troubled, because she senses that something is not quite right here. And while the men skulk back home to check the stock market reports, Mary bravely returns to the tomb. I wonder, was the cause of her weeping a mixture of grief over her loss or her frustration with the system that would not only kill a good man, but desecrate his body? Probably a mix of the two. And then it happens. The old normal is shattered. And though there is a sense of continuity with what was before, something happens that changes everything. The gardener says her name. How did he know my name? Mary wonders. And then the old normal disappears forever, and the new normal has broken through. It's the teacher. It's Jesus. And she goes on to do what most of us wish we could do right now in this era of social distancing. She reaches out to hug Jesus, to touch him, to wrap her arms around him. And Jesus says, "Don't hold on to me. I've got people to see. I've got things to do and places to be. And so do you, Mary. It's okay to grieve the loss of what was, Mary, but now it's time to let go, embrace the new normal, the resurrection normal, the Easter normal. What does this current crisis in Easter Day 2020, which in our lifetime we will not forget, what does all of this have to say to us who are grieving the loss of what was normal and wondering what the new normal might be? What about the old normal should we determine on this day to let go? What are the possibilities for transformation cocooned in our current crisis that will enable us, if we are open to them, to live more fully into God's intention for the human race and all creation? The New Testament book of the Acts, which we'll hear in church for the next few weeks, sets forth the distinction between a world that goes back to normal. They want to go back to a world without Jesus. And in contrast, this growing group of Jesus followers who have tasted the new normal of the resurrection life, and they refuse at all costs to go back to the way things were before. The political and religious powers of the day did everything in their power to go back to the old normal, which at its heart was the attempt to maintain their control of the economy, politics, and religion. But the followers of Jesus, energized by the Spirit of the risen Jesus, chose to live in the new normal. They chose to live in the Easter normal. They go on to make bold decisions to be inclusive. They sacrifice their reputation and their very lives, and they give generously, so much so that everyone in the community, everyone, shares in the abundance of a generous God. Sisters and brothers, there are things about the way life was before this crisis that are worth grieving over. I agree with high school and college seniors who won't be able to finish their senior year. I weep with families who cannot hold the hands of their dying loved ones. I mourn that we could not celebrate Holy Week and Easter gathered in one place, hugging and touching, sharing the peace with a handshake and a kiss and a hug. I grieve over that. But there are some things about the old normal which I will not grieve if we choose to let them go. I will not grieve if we choose to put in the past the growing disparity between the rich and the poor that has become the norm for this nation. I will not grieve if we choose to let go of a broken healthcare system where people cannot get quick treatment and they die because they do not have health insurance. That is not Christian. I will not grieve if Christian people in our nation choose to let go of our obsession with political power and anything that comes along so that we cannot do the one thing Jesus told us to do, to love God wholeheartedly and to love our neighbors as ourselves. I will not grieve over that obsession. I do not want to go back to the old normal of politics as usual, the disparaging of people and minorities in the public forum, and the disregard for truth and justice that has become all too common in our common life. Please, let us not go back to the old normal of overscheduling ourselves and our children to the point that we can barely find time to breathe. Let us not go back to the old normal of taking our relationships, our vocations, and our faith for granted. Yes, we need to grieve over some things that we have lost during this time in history. But let us, for God's sake and for our own, choose to let go of the things that are dividing us, degrading our humanity, killing us, and wreaking havoc on God's creation. On this Easter day, thanks be to God, there are signs all around us that cracks are appearing in the edifice of the old normal. And maybe it's time we take on what the children of Israel did when they marched around Jericho. March around it 7 times and blow those trumpets until that wall comes tumbling down. You've read the news reports, most likely, that folks who live in northern India can see the Himalayas once again because of the drop in emissions. You've seen wildlife returning to the canals of Venice. Many of us are learning the names of our next door neighbors. They live right next door to us, and we're finding out who they are. I see the Easter normal, the new normal, at work right here in our own faith community at Good Samaritan, where people, dozens of people, are checking in on one another. They're offering help. They're delivering groceries. You have given generously, blown my discretionary account up. You've worshiped faithfully. Signs of the new normal, the Easter normal. Families are having time to work on puzzles and play board games. We have time to read novels and take long walks and check to see if the widow up the street needs Kleenex or, God forbid, toilet paper. Folks are returning to faith, or at least they're open to deepening their spiritual life. They're asking questions. Many of us are realizing that our relationship to God and to the community of believers, the church, those things are actually a part. They're essential to our well-being. Alan Lightman, a physicist who teaches at MIT, wrote in The Atlantic next week, "There is something more to be regained in this crisis, something more subtle, more delicate, almost impossible even to name. That is the restoration of our inner selves. By inner self, I mean that part of me that imagines, that dreams, that explores, that is constantly questioning who I am and what is important to me. My inner self is my true freedom," he writes. "My inner self roots me to me and to the ground beneath me. Perhaps the slower life cycle in these months can help put the pieces of our broken selves back together. And perhaps a more contemplative, deliberate way of living can become permanent." The late poet John O'Donohue writes, "You have traveled too fast over false ground. Now your soul has come to take you back. Take refuge in your senses. Open up to all the small miracles you rushed through. Become inclined to watch the way of rain when it falls slow and free. Imitate the habit of twilight, taking time to open the well of color that fostered the brightness of the day. Draw alongside the silence of stone until its calmness can claim you." That Easter falls right smack dab in the middle of this pandemic is worth pondering. If God can bring new life and new creation out of the death, disappointment, and disaster of the Passion Week of Jesus, what might happen if we choose to live in the new normal that is possible on the other side of our own passion experience? What new thing might God be up to? What new and wonderful things could be birthed in our own lives, in our families, in our church, and in our nation, and in our world? I love how the Easter story in John ends. Mary runs back to where the disciples are hunkered down in the old normal. The text tells us that she announces, she declares, "I have seen the Lord." She is the first apostle of the new normal. The Easter, the resurrection normal, the first one. The good news of this Easter day is that even in our grieving and our weeping, God is with us. Emmanuel, God is with us. God doesn't chide us because of our tears, but he does call us, each one of us, by name, to see through our tears the vision of a new normal that started 2,000 years ago in a garden on the outskirts of Jerusalem. And not just to see it, but to embrace it and let it take root in our hearts so that we too, like Mary, can shout to the world this day, "I have seen the Lord." Hallelujah. Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen.